This is your update from Columbia Faith and Values. We're Mid-Missouri's source for religion news, brought to you in partnership with KBIA. I'm Kelly Moore. In a few minutes, we'll meet a pastor who doubles as a bus driver. But first, let's take a look at something most faith communities don't talk about enough: mental health. Faith leaders and lay people from around Missouri recently met in Columbia for a workshop on youth mental wellness. They learned about the role that faith communities have in young people's development, and found out just how important it is to support youth and families struggling with mental illness.
Okay. I wonder about this child that's been going.
It's a Wednesday afternoon, and more than 30 people are gathered in a conference room at Phoenix Health Programs on the north side of Columbia. They walk around the room, strike a thoughtful pose, and practice asking the question, could this child be ill? It's part of an exercise to help them get comfortable asking the tough questions when they notice symptoms of mental illness in their youth. The leader of this activity is Heather Harlan, a prevention specialist with Phoenix Health Programs.
50, 75, and 10. 50% of people who will develop mental illness experience symptoms by age 14. 75% experience symptoms by age 24. And 10 is the average number of years before a person seeks help for a mental health disorder.
In other words, the teenage years are a crucial time for those struggling with mental illness. And that means youth leaders are on the front lines in recognizing the signs and responding. Ryan Worley runs the Youth Community Coalition and is a pastor at Caris Church. He says that research shows when people are going through something difficult, whether it's a mental illness or something else, the first place they turn is usually the faith community.
So when you think about things like depression, you know, the conflicts, the teen pregnancy, unemployment, some of the things we've already talked about, the first person that's getting the opportunity to interact with that is the pastor, is the youth worker, is the Sunday school volunteer, is the recovery ministry. So the role that we have as faith leaders is very, very critical.
But the problem is people don't always know how to respond. Even though there is no one to blame for mental illness, there's still a stigma attached. That's something Mary Kelly knows all too well. Her uncle had schizophrenia, but her family never talked about it. So when her only son developed mental health problems, she didn't know what to do. Her son is 16, and since 2005, he's been hospitalized psychiatrically 36 times, lived in 7 different residential facilities, and been part of 2 therapeutic treatment systems. When it all first started happening, she didn't know why or where to turn.
I felt lost, I felt very alone, and I felt embarrassed. Because these are things that are not talked about with my friends at happy hour. These are things that are not talked about at the water cooler at work. These are not things that are talked about Sunday morning at church. They're just not discussed.
She did find support in the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. It's been around for about 30 years, and it started with 2 moms whose sons were both in a mental institution. The organization offers support, education, and advocacy for individuals and their families struggling with mental illness. One of the ways faith communities can better help people struggling with mental illness is simply knowing how to respond. Here's Harlan again.
You love it when you have somebody on your staff or in your church who knows something about first aid when there's a physical injury. Oh my gosh, the kid gasped, there's blood, what do we do? How about a psychiatric crisis? Do you have anybody who knows how to help? Not to be a professional, but to the person, the front line while you're waiting for professionals to help. Do you have that? Do you know who those people are?
She recommends taking a mental health first aid class. This is especially important for youth leaders, so they can learn to recognize the symptoms of mental illness and help youth in those early stages. She and the other speakers at the workshop urged faith leaders to be proactive. Here are some of the tips they offered. Invite parents to come to an information session on recognizing early signs of mental illness. Help the youth develop positive relationships with adults. Look for risk factors and protective factors in the youth environment. And make the faith community a place where it's okay to talk about mental illness, maybe even wrapping it into a sermon now and then. Don't let it be taboo. And when people are struggling, be supportive. Maybe even bring over a casserole, just like you would do if they were dealing with a different kind of illness.
Because God made you, that's why I love.
Small town churches are scattered throughout Missouri, but sometimes these churches have difficulties paying their pastors. With limited congregation and donation sizes, there's just not enough financial support. So it's not uncommon to see rural pastors looking for a second or even a third job. Heather Adams has more on the story.
On any given Sunday, you can find Pastor Kevin Allred at the front of Hallsville Church of God.
We celebrate Jesus and we tell the stories of how Jesus did miracles. He made the blind.
At the age of 13, Allred said he knew he wanted to be a pastor. And now, years later, he has found himself serving in this small-town church in Hallsville.
The head of our home missions department called me and asked me if I could fill in for a couple Sundays, and that was 4.5 years ago.
Hallsville Church of God was without a pastor at the time Allred stepped in, but the church was unable to fully pay Allred. So Allred took up bus driving, something he originally did to pay for college. But, he says, it's also something he enjoys.
Get to talk to people as a bus driver that I probably normally wouldn't get to interact with as just a pastor.
But, Allred says, it's often difficult to find time to write sermons, reach out to people, drive a bus, and spend time with his family.
The American dream says you can have it all, but there are only 24 hours a day, and I just don't have time to have it all.
But an organization called Village Missions is working so that pastors in situations similar to Allred's don't have to work extra jobs. They saw this problem and began working to combat it back in 1948. The group works to provide pastors with a salary and benefits and place them in these churches of need. Tim Griffiths is the director of stewardship at Village Missions. He says this mission is important because giving pastors that financial security keeps them focused and worry-free.
If you're worried about where your finances are going to come from or where the money's going to come from for your rent or for food or whatever, then you get distracted, I guess. That's the biggest thing, is I just feel like they sometimes get distracted from the ministry and from the work that they're called to.
Open Door Community Church in Cedar Creek, Missouri, reached out to the organization asking for help, and 9 months ago, Isaac Peterson showed up at the church ready to preach. Peterson grew up in a small town in Minnesota and says he loves the small church feel, which is why he feels he was a great fit for the program.
I just really like the way a small church, how there's the accountability. Everyone knows everybody, and it just seems like you're more real in your community.
Peterson has a lot of plans for the church in the future, including starting a youth group. And both Peterson and Allred hope to grow their churches so that the church can pay them without the extra help from outside resources. Heather Adams, KBIA News.
And that's it for this Faith and Values update. I'm Kelly Moore. Thanks for listening.